The following presentation is brought to you by The Realm Network.
The Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Before we start the show, it's time for this week's Bubble Genius Showcase Item of the Week. March is all about Easter and Passover at BubbleGenius.com. Head on over to Bubble Genius and pick up their Sweet Jesus Chocolate Jesus Soap. It's a finely sculpted statue of Jesus that looks and smells like chocolate. Not available anywhere else, and it's guaranteed to be sacrilegious. Only $7 at BubbleGenius.com, but if you use our promo code Bob and Chez, that's BOBANDCHEZ, you'll get 15% off your entire order only at BubbleGenius.com. And now, let's start the show.
Recorded live in the USA and covering the whole wide world, this is the Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Right on!
With Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza.
Here we go.
Eggs all are Owen.
Owen, you've got to get it through your thick head. I may be a lot of things, but I am not a killer.
You don't have to blow her brains out or anything.
Thank you. That takes the pressure right off.
She's old. She's got a bad ticker. All you got to do is jerk around a lot when you talk to her. Nice to meet you, Mrs. Liff.
Stop it.
Well, just meet her. Maybe she'd be somebody you'd like to kill.
Owen, what the hell's going on out there?
Nothing, Mama. You walk her up.
Who are you talking to? Who's in there with you?
Nobody, Mama.
Who's this?
This is Cousin Patty. He's going to be staying with us for a while. Isn't that nice?
You don't have a Cousin Patty.
You lied to me!
Making your day a little brighter is quite enough for us.
The Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Thuggery stuff that's been going on.
Dear God.
It is Tuesday.
Holy crap.
March 15, 2016. And this is the Bob and Chez Show presented by BubbleGenius.com. I'm Bob Seska. That is Chez Pazienza sitting right there.
I only read that quote. I didn't actually hear it.
Jesus God.
Wow. Petty, punk-ass little thuggery stuff that's been going on.
Oh, God. I just want to punch her life.
You know, I thought they were against abortion, so why the hell are they aborting the English language? Let me ask you that. Oh, Jesus Christ. Sarah Palin.
Petty, punk-ass little thuggery stuff that's been going on!
Good God.
You know,
why doesn't she, Trump, it's Trump 1.0, why doesn't she just go away?
You know, the crazy thing is that Todd Palin, while she was doing that, while she was having her little hootenanny down there in Florida with Donald Trump, her husband Todd was in the intensive care unit after his snow machine accident.
Yeah. Which, you know, was kind of like what happened to young Cletus there at the beginning of Idiocracy.
Oh, God.
That was what happened. Punk-ass little thuggery stuff that's been going on.
What happened to Todd was like a very special ow my balls.
Yeah, exactly. What actually did happen to him? I guess he just wrecked the goddamn snow machine.
It's a fucking snowmobile. Can we just call it that? Please?
I know. You know what?
It's
I was
not
just
a goddamn snow machine.
Yeah, the snow machine sounds what? Sounds tougher. Like it's a thing you have to tame. It's an engine that revs and it goes. It's a machine. I don't know why. I mean, I only heard snow machine used when Sarah Palin emerged on the scene. I always thought they were just snowmobiles.
They are snowmobiles. A snow machine makes snow.
Exactly. Thank you. You know, I thought I was the only crazy one who's going, snow machine? What the hell's a snow machine? All right, so it is Super Tuesday Part 2, Electric Boogaloo. Florida, Illinois, Missouri, North Carolina, Ohio. And it's a pretty big deal. And I will tell you right now, I honestly believe that Hillary Clinton is hoping beyond hope that she can go to her hometown of Chicago and announce, basically pivot to the national campaign.
yeah.
tonight.
I mean, look, you know what? I was always very, very sure that this was the day that was going to do it for her. And honestly, it probably will be.
Yeah.
I don't think that there's too much of a doubt about that. I think that what happened in Michigan was a bit of a fluke. Mm-hmm. And I still think that, you know, I don't think, as you wrote about, I don't think that this really damages Nate Silver all that much. His math is still his math.
Oh, yeah.
So yeah. It remains to be seen, though. You know, it remains to be seen because Bernie, to his credit, has been pretty surprising. You know, I mean, he's made it, even if he hasn't actually pulled it out in terms of getting enough delegates to really, you know, really, really make Clinton sweat.
Yeah.
He always, just optics wise, he always manages to win a state or two or a couple more so that he can justify continuing to go. Which by the way, he's going to go regardless. He's got the money to do it. He's got the war chest. But yeah, I think it's the kind of thing. It's sort of a morale victory.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I never thought that Bernie Sanders would do this well. I honestly thought 1 year ago that Bernie Sanders was kind of going to be like the Dennis Kucinich of this year's campaign, where he was going to put on a good show and he was going to say a lot of great things and then ultimately get 2% of the vote. I mean, not really be competitive in any significant way. But the fact that he's been so utterly competitive says so much about not only what he's saying, but how he's saying it. And certainly, I think a lot of his supporters, the less insane ones, have done him a great service by working very hard to build momentum and get the votes out. And that's obviously to be commended. Now, all of that said, really, the results today are kind of irrelevant. I mean, I'm saying kind of because I'm still hedging a little bit. But the fact of the matter is, according to most sources, and I think we touched upon this a little bit last week, is that Bernie Sanders would need 54% of all the remaining delegates in order to overtake Hillary Clinton.
That's the problem. The problem is the problem, you know, can he win some more states? Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The problem is that he can't win enough delegates.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. And so already, you know, between then and now, I mean, there was Mississippi that he lost big time in. That works against him. There was even the Marianas Islands, whatever that is. The fact that Hillary Clinton won there, too, makes it even more difficult. And even though it is a small territory and there aren't many delegates there, obviously, it still, again, eats into that possibility that Bernie Sanders would get 54% of the remaining delegates. I don't think he's going to get 54% of the delegates in Florida. He's not going to get 54% of the delegates in Illinois, Missouri, North Carolina, Ohio. I mean, he may win in one of those states. Let's say he gets 54% of the delegates in Illinois and Ohio. This is just say as a matter of speculation. Doesn't matter because there's still North Carolina, there's still Florida, there's still the delegate split, and there aren't any big winner-take-all states remaining either for him to really rack up some points. So really what it comes right down to at this point is anyone who's saying that Bernie Sanders can still get the nomination is leaning toward the idea of either being deferential to Bernie Sanders supporters, which is fine, but then also leaning toward building unnecessary drama around an election that is easily the most dramatic. This has been the most dramatic election of my lifetime, hands down.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and the other thing is that, you're talking about this is something that I wrote about before. Like, I think one of the last things I wrote about Sanders, and I'm trying honestly to avoid writing about Sanders. I don't want to turn into sort of like H.A. Goodman.
Yeah, me too.
One of the last things that I said was, look, you have to look at these articles about Sanders' path to victory and look at who's writing them. Consider the source.
Oh, yeah.
Because I have yet to see, and if somebody has it, please, by all means, send it my way. I have yet to see one article from an objective source or from an adversarial source, somebody who doesn't like Bernie, that says, here is his path to victory. Here's how he can do it. This, you know, Clinton should start worrying. I haven't seen one piece like that written by somebody who doesn't expressly want Bernie Sanders to win.
Oh, yeah. And I even tweeted this Salon article. And of course, I write for Salon, so I'm not really I'm not necessarily bagging on Salon itself, but Bill Curry, who wrote this article in Salon today titled, "Can Hillary Stay in the Race? If She Loses Ohio and Missouri, Clinton's Case Becomes Very, Very Tenuous." But no, it doesn't. See, this is the kind of crap that drives me up a wall, because right. as far as I'm concerned, no matter who you support in this election, your allegiance as a liberal, as a progressive, whatever you want to call yourself, should be to intellectual and objective reality. Not, I mean, yeah, I get it. You're trying to build momentum for your guy, but there are ways to build momentum for your guy without completely ignoring objective reality. And the objective reality is that no, if Clinton wins Ohio and or loses Ohio and Missouri today, it's not really going to affect her all that much. The split, if she does lose, the split's going to be very down the middle, somewhat, you know, sort of like Michigan was, where right. even though Bernie Sanders came back from a massive deficit and in a really shocking and surprising way, to only get, what was it? What did it turn out to be? 54% of the vote, something like 52% of the vote, so that the delegates ended up being somewhat evenly split, a little bit to Bernie's favor, but then overall the day, including Mississippi, went resoundingly in Hillary Clinton's favor. So right. the delegates weren't even split at a 54% advantage for Bernie Sanders, the 54% split that he needed in order to continue eking toward the nomination, which is never going to happen now. I mean, I'm just, again, I'm not saying this to bag on Bernie Sanders. I'm saying this as someone who likes to observe objective reality. And this is what we're looking at. But this guy, Bill Curry, who's a former Clinton administration official. This is Bill Curry was a White House counselor to President Clinton, two-time Democratic nominee for governor of Connecticut, and he's working on a book on President Obama and the politics of populism. That's a mouthful. But Bill Curry wrote this piece, and I'm going, how can he honestly do that? I mean, how can anyone on the left, and I could see this coming from the right, especially from the Trump people and the Ted Cruz people, they've divorced themselves from reality years and years ago. But coming from the left, it continues to disturb me, and I shouldn't be disturbed, especially after, as we talked about last week, after the summer of 2013, when we observed the liberal media, I mean the actual liberal media, liberal podcasts, liberal websites, liberal Facebook pages, liberal Twitter accounts. We saw those sites reporting the Snowden situation in a way that was almost entirely divorced from reality. It was shocking and disturbing to observe that. Likewise, it's disturbing to observe this. Do the math. Count the delegates, divide it by the number of delegates that are available in each state now, and you'll come up with a number that is difficult for Bernie Sanders to overcome. And that is just, again, objective reality.
Yeah. We've already seen that there are far too many Bernie Sanders supporters who don't give a crap about objective reality.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They don't care. They don't care about political reality. They don't care. You know, I got into a debate with somebody on Facebook yesterday. Mm-hmm. And it was my point was if you don't base your vote on objective reality, on yeah. political reality, you are voting irresponsibly.
Yeah.
Well, it's just that simple. You may not want to hear it, you may hate it, you may think that it's, you know, oh my God, this is how we stay this is how change doesn't happen and we stay mediocre.
Yeah.
But if you've got Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton running for president, mm-hmm. and you don't, you know, you decide that you're just going to stay home because you're throwing a little, you know, pissy tantrum.
Yeah.
Your lack of a vote, if you're liberal, your lack of a vote helps Donald Trump, period.
Exactly.
There is no way around that. There is no way around that.
Yeah. That's, again, more objective reality. Now, I'm not saying this just to be Pollyanna, but, you know, the Hillary Clinton people aren't completely innocent in this either. The Hillary Clinton people accusing Bernie Sanders.
Excuse me, I'm talking.
No, I'm still talking. Accusing Bernie Sanders of being sexist with his hand gestures and crap like that. Absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, I've never been a fan of the sort of attack from Clinton supporters that Bernie is being sexist. I don't buy that.
Yeah, and obviously Hillary Clinton doesn't have the same level of authenticity as Bernie Sanders. I mean, there are a lot of differences in between the campaigns here, but I think as an outside observer, there's only one way to analyze the race going forward. And you're going to see on MSNBC throughout the rest of the day, and of course, by the time you're hearing this show, the results will pretty much be in. But you're going to observe cable news for the rest of the next 24 hours at least, playing up the drama as if there's still a contest on the left. And I'm sorry, there really isn't. And I know we're probably going to lose some Patreon subscribers as a result of me saying this. But, I mean, I can't sit here and go, well, you know, maybe he does have a chance, just to be Pollyanna about it. I'm not going to do that. And I've never done that. You know, on the opposite end of the spectrum, you have, you know, a show like The Young Turks, which has been, which had the nerve, and we talked about this a little on a post-mortem show a couple of weeks ago, but The Young Turks has had the nerve on repeated occasions to attack me and my support for Barack Obama, and yet nothing I have ever said about Barack Obama even comes close to the fealty that you observe by listening to or watching a single episode of The Young Turks and Cenk Uygur. Because what they are doing with Bernie Sanders is absolutely, I mean, it's propaganda. There's no other way to put it. I mean, by fabricating the landscape of the election with the intention of presenting an advantage for Bernie Sanders that doesn't actually exist, that is by definition propaganda. And I can't look at it any other way. I'm sorry. You know, this is just this is the way it is. Because you know what concerns me? I just don't want the left to turn into this
petty, punk ass little thuggery stuff that's been going on.
You know, this kind of Sarah Palin disconnect.
Literal screeching.
Yeah, literal screeching about, you know, things that you cannot prove objectively. It's all made up. You know, I wrote a piece for Salon the other day about the riots going on that went on in Chicago, coincidentally enough, that occurred right after we finished our after party. And we were talking, we spent a good portion of time talking about the violence at Trump rallies. And there it was, as soon as we finished the after party, there it was, all the violence erupted. And if the left becomes like that, it's going to be a nightmare in this country, because there's one side that's still somewhat tethered to objective reality. And as soon as we start down that road where we're just making crap up and we're playing the Republican game, then it's only a matter of time before candidates like this emerge.
Petty, punk-ass little thuggery stuff that's been going on.
Right. And so we get that, and then we get candidates like Trump, and then we're just like the Republicans, but with maybe a different set of platform planks. Who the hell want? I know I don't want that. Maybe there are some people who do. Maybe there's some people have the underpants gnome formula, and they think that by doing that, you know, that's number one. We're just going to start acting like crazy people, completely disconnected with reality. And then number two, question mark, number three, progressivism. I don't see how the hell that works in any way, shape, or form.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's talk about shaving razors here with Harry's Razors. You know, I've been looking for basically my entire adult life for a razor blade that actually shaves my face without peeling all the skin off of it. Especially in that, you know, that area under your chin and where your, you know, your jawline meets your neck. That's like the trouble spot for me. Every time I shave with one of those store-bought razors from behind the protective glass, it always rakes the hell out of me. I look like Dick Cheney shot me in the face or something along those lines. But, and then for that privilege of raking the hell out of my face, I have to pay $32 for a pack of razor blades. It's ridiculous. But here's the solution. Go to Harry's.com. Pick up the Harry's Starter Set. It's an amazing deal for just $15. You get a razor that's a German-engineered five-bladed razor, moisturizing shave cream, and three razor blades. I've been shaving with Harry's for weeks now. No razor burn, just a smooth, close shave every time, and it feels great. And don't forget, ladies, Harry's is perfect for your legs and armpits if you choose to shave those. I don't, but then again, I'm not you. Shave my face. Go to Harry's.com, enter the promo code BANDC. That's BNC for Bob and Chez. For $5 off your first Harry's shave. Plus, you'll be supporting the show by taking good care of your face or your legs with Harry's Razors. That's HARRYS.com.
The Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Welcome back to our big Tuesday show.
I've never seen you look like this without a reason.
Yep.
Petty,
no.
Punk-ass little thuggery stuff that's been going on.
Going on.
Excuse me, I'm talking.
Yeah. See, now, God, I would love to see that debate. I would just love to see. Get me a debate stage with Hillary Clinton, Bernie Sanders, Donald Trump, throw
that
in Sarah Palin.
Amazing.
Ted Cruz, and just for good measure for his dramatic hand gestures, John Kasich. By the way, I was reading on Twitter today that MSNBC and other sources are reporting that a lot of Democrats, for some effed up reason, are switching over voting for on the Republican side to stop Trump. Just been hearing lots of reports from exit polls and things like that saying that, and especially Hillary Clinton supporters, for some effed up reason, are going over and just for the hell of it, voting for Trump in the open primaries. And I believe Illinois and Ohio are open primaries. Florida might also be an open primary. If that's the case, what the hell are you doing, Hillary people? Good Lord. Yeah. Talk about complacency. I mean, we always talk about, Jared, we always talk about the fact that Democrats are complacent. Every time you say, well, you know, and that's why I was actually kind of cautious at the top of the show going, well, should I really be saying this about Hillary Clinton kind of having it in the bag here with the nomination? Because, you know,
yeah,
everyone.
Yeah, that's a good point. Don't. She only has it in the bag if people actually vote.
That's right. That's true. You have to go out and vote because, but I mean, just all you got to do is turn on the news or just look at your Facebook feed. And the Bernie Sanders momentum is very real. I mean, sure. It exists. I mean, this guy has come back from phenomenal odds to rise to a place where, given enough time, he could get the nomination. The only thing keeping Bernie Sanders from winning the nomination at this point is the calendar.
Yeah,
it's not Bernie Sanders or his supporters. Combined, they can get this. If, like, the next batch of primaries or something, let's say all of March was pushed back a month and a half. Let's say there was a big month and a half gap where there were no primaries, and suddenly we had all of these big primary days with multiple primaries and caucuses going on, and say that was mid-April, there'd be a serious problem. The Hillary Clinton campaign would need to do some serious underpants laundering because they'd be crapping themselves because Bernie Sanders would be able to pick up enough momentum.
I read somewhere that the time is on Bernie's side.
That's what Cenk Uygur said. Yeah. Cenk said, time is on his side.
Yeah, Cenk Uygur, a guy who I should totally fucking take seriously.
That's right.
At all times.
Yes. Yes.
Fuck Cenk.
He's totally not making up. He's just making it up. Making it up, making it up, making it up. And you know what? In reality, I mean, there is, like I said, there is Bernie Sanders momentum. But the fact is that there's not enough time for that momentum to transform into primary delegates. I mean, there's still time to get some. But it's like the momentum is crashing up against the bulwark of time, and that's going to keep him from getting the nomination.
Very poetic.
Jesus, I don't know what the hell I've been smoking. Okay.
Yeah.
So,
but you know what's going to happen. You know what's, like, I hate to say this, but mm-hmm. you totally know what's coming.
Yeah.
If Bernie doesn't get the nomination,
oh,
even before we have the. You know, we have the Bernie or bust people supposedly staying home on election day.
Yeah.
You're going to get, there's already been like a petition going around that started that said that they need to, you know, shut it down,
uh-huh.
the Democratic convention.
Yep, exactly. There's that.
Because they don't understand how politics work and they don't like how politics work and they just don't get what they want. So we're just going to shut it down.
Yeah, and by the way, a lot of Bernie Sanders supporters, and for that matter, Hillary Clinton supporters, who are doing the works of the Republicans right now. You know, we all know about the scandals of the Hillary Clinton career. We all know about these things. We're all aware of the emails. We're all aware of the fact that, you know, she can sometimes, you know, reverse positions and things like that. We know this. You don't have to do the work. Especially in a closed group of similarly minded Bernie Sanders supporters, they don't need to be digging up every Hillary Clinton scandal. Likewise, we don't need to be one of the big anti-Bernie things today was the fact that someone came up with a story saying that, oh yeah, it was our friends at Daily News Bin, pro-Hillary iteration of U.S. Uncut. They came up with an article that said Bernie Sanders did a paid speaking engagement to Bank of America. And this was running for a good, I don't know, half a day when they finally had to correct it because all their readers rebelled against them and presented YouTube videos of the speech itself that was completely innocuous.
Yeah.
You know, Jesus God. The Republicans are really, really good at marketing against liberals and Democrats. We don't need to be helping them out. That's the bottom line. But the other thing that's going to happen, of course, at the end of the day, if Hillary Clinton ends up sweeping all the primaries, we're going to get more of this.
This is an outrage. Yeah. I demand an investigation. Right. Turn those machines back on. Turn those machines back on.
Right.
Excuse me. I'm talking.
No. So that's going to happen, too. We can very much expect that. All right. So meanwhile, as we've been playing through most of the show here so far, Sarah Palin appeared in Florida with Donald Trump, and neither of them, in the wake of Chicago, have shown any sort of aptitude when it comes to understanding the First Amendment, which is kind of amazing given that Donald Trump is a front runner for the presidency, and Sarah Palin was the nominee for vice president 8 years ago and is out stumping for Trump, even though her husband is in intensive care after his snow machine accident. So, but yeah, she claimed, and so did Donald Trump, that the anti-Trump protesters are violating Trump and his supporters' First Amendment rights. And they literally went there with the words First Amendment rights, even though any reading of the First Amendment would show that the protesters are actually exercising their First Amendment rights and not shutting anyone's First Amendment rights down. Because the First Amendment does not protect Trump's supporters from being counter-protested against.
Yeah.
Just
it
doesn't
protects them from the government.
That's exactly right. Protects them from the government, and that's it. But that doesn't stop Sarah Palin. Here's the full quote of Sarah Palin talking about the First Amendment.
What we don't have time for is all that petty, punk-ass little thuggery stuff that's been going on.
I mean, thuggery stuff.
She just murders the English language.
Murders it.
Just
yeah.
Destroys it.
Thuggery stuff.
With these quote-unquote protesters who are doing nothing but wasting your time and trying to take away your First Amendment rights, your rights to assemble peacefully, and the media being on the thug side. What the heck are you guys thinking, media?
See, I mean, this is the kind of crap that first of all, it drives people insane on the right. And I'll tell you why. Because the conservative followers, the disciples of people like Trump, are observing one thing and they're being told another and then being forced and having no choice but to go along with the other thing, which is that, you know, obviously they're acting like thugs under the command of their cult leader, Donald Trump.
Right.
And yet here they're being told that it's not them who are the thugs. It is they who are the thugs.
You are the ones who are the b-lickers.
You are the ones who are the b-lickers.
You are the ones who are the b-lickers.
Right, exactly. So, I mean, here's the First Amendment. Just in case Donald Trump and Sarah Palin are listening. And I hope they are because I hope they sue us. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or the right of the people to peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. So that's it. And for some reason, they've led their people to believe that the First Amendment protects Donald Trump supporters from being protested against. This is why they're so insane. Because they're so overloaded with this misinformation. Again, this is the path that the left is on if we're not really effing careful moving forward through the rest of this campaign and beyond. We're careening toward a future where the left's leadership denies the actual text of constitutional amendments and so on. It's like the mission statement of Fox News Channel. Roger Ailes started Fox News Channel so he could tell people what to think. You don't have to think at all. We're going to tell you what to think. And then the biggest Orwellian side of all of that is the slogan, "We report, you decide," which was the original Fox News slogan. Well, you're not deciding a goddamn thing. Fox News is telling you what to decide and what to think. And it's not reality. It's not true. It's entirely baseless. It's entirely false. So, I mean, this is what we get. Republican leaders who have no clue what the First Amendment is. I mean, Howard Dean, what was it, 12 years ago, like released some sort of peculiar yelping noise and was basically written off, you know, from the presidency. Donald Trump is a front runner for the Republican nomination, probably going to be the nominee. And he gets the First Amendment entirely wrong and then incites violence and then offers, this is the next story, then offers Ben Carson a post in his cabinet violating the law. In both cases, inciting the violence and offering Ben Carson this post. Yeah, I mean, this is two breakings of the law plus a misreading of the First Amendment. To me, this is like, get him off the stage. He's not ready. You know, this is any other year. This is what would have happened to a candidate.
He's bulletproof, though. He's absolutely bulletproof.
Yeah, exactly. He is bulletproof because his people are so insane and because the traditional news media is concerned about looking like they have a liberal bias. And that's what's also contributing to the age of Donald Trump. We've got a quote coming up here in a little bit from my favorite doughy pantload, Mark Halperin, who talks about how Trump is maybe the best living politician right now.
Jesus.
And of course, Eugene Robinson goes after him for that. We're going to take a short break. We're going to talk about both this Ben Carson thing, how Trump broke the law, and then we're going to get into Mark Halperin's latest bit of hackish nonsense right after this. Okay, let's talk about supporting independent media. For only $1 a month, you can help finance the Bob and Chez show at patreon.com/Bob and Chez. That's 12 cents per show. Go now to patreon.com/Bob and Chez. That's patreon.com/Bob and Chez and sign up for $1 a month, $5 a month, $10 a month, or $15 a month, or whatever you can afford. If you sign up for $5 or more, you'll get special Patreon-only shows like our post-mortem wrap-up show, the Not Safe for Work after-party show, and commercial-free, unbleeped versions of the free Tuesday and Thursday shows. Most of all, you'll be supporting a totally independent podcast not affiliated with corporate media. And if we reach our $7,500 per month goal, we'll bring you new shows 5 days a week, Mondays through Fridays. That's patreon.com/Bob and Chez or click the Patreon link at bobseska.com. Let's do this thing.
Shove Bob and Chez into your pants and haul them around with you wherever you go. Subscribe to the Bob and Chez Show in the podcast section on iTunes.
Second half of today's show is brought to you by the bobseska.com Amazon link. We're really lagging this month on the Amazon link. So if you want to go shopping and you want to go shopping at amazon.com, do me a big favor. Go instead to bobseska.com. Just below the logo in the top left of the page, click the link that's it's big capital letters. It says Amazon link. Just click that link. Takes you to the front page of Amazon.com. You go shopping as normal. You don't have to do anything else. And it costs you nothing extra. And we get a small commission from everything you buy. It helps support the show more than just about anything else short of Patreon.com, of course. So thank you in advance for that. Okay, moving along here to Ben Carson. Ben Carson accidentally let it slip that the reason he endorsed Trump was because Trump offered him an advisory position in his cabinet.
In Ben Carson's defense, he was kind of twilighted. So he wasn't really sure what he was saying, whether he was just thinking it or it was actually coming out of his mouth.
Yeah, it was the Panthers organization thing, wasn't it?
Yeah, he was right there. He was right there between being asleep and being awake.
That's right. That's what happens. I mean, everything that every time Ben Carson offers
Donald Trump offered me a position, and also there's a unicorn.
He said, "Here, I'll be doing things as well. I'll be doing things, certainly in an advisory capacity in Trump's administration.
I'll be doing things. I'll be listening to." Roxy Music's Avalon.
Give him a shoulder rub with my knowing fingers. We haven't handed out all the details, but it's very important that we work together in this country. Again, I'm not going to reveal any details about it right now because all of this is still very liquid. Ben Carson. Yeah, so he just revealed that it's a big quid pro quo deal. It's like, okay, I'm going to endorse Donald Trump and he's going to give me a post in his White House. But, of course, we turn now to Title 18 in the U.S. Code, Chapter 599, and we read this, quote, Whoever being a candidate directly or indirectly promises or pledges the appointment or the use of his influence or support for the appointment of any person to any public or private position or employment for the purpose of procuring support in his candidacy shall be fined under this title or imprisoned not more than 1 year or both, and if the violation was willful, shall be fined under this title or imprisoned not more than 2 years or both, right?
You know what? If you read that as Sarah Palin, it would be awesome. It really does sound like a Palin quote.
It really does.
Petty, punk-ass little thuggery stuff that's been going on.
Going on. Jesus God. So in addition to inciting violence, Donald Trump is also breaking the law by offering positions, likely to both Ben Carson and Chris Christie. I mean, I've never seen Chris Christie bootlick, and he's known for bootlicking. Yeah. But I've never seen him bootlick like he's doing now with Donald Trump. Just as like the little guy standing behind, well, not little, but he's big, quite big. But in terms of his status, quite little compared to Trump. God. So it's entirely possible that Trump violated these rules on two occasions. You know, this happens all the time. The difference is that Ben Carson, because he's an idiot, said it out loud. Which you don't do. You just don't say crap like that out loud. And that leads me to believe that, again, that Ben Carson is perpetually having an Ambien sleepwalking episode.
Absolutely.
He doesn't know what the hell he's saying. It's like your buddy with the, like we said before, it's like your buddy with the Panthers organization thing.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. When we were so incredibly high and sleep deprived that after a while you just started saying that, like, anything that popped into your head.
And that's what Ben Carson is doing. And of course, Ben Carson is the same as Donald Trump insofar as he blurts weird stuff. He just does it in slow motion. Donald Trump does it in fast motion. It's like Ben Carson is 33 RPM and Donald Trump is 72 RPM. See, that was for you millennials listening in, and I doubt there are any millennials listening in at this point. But if there are, that had to do with records and record players from the olden times. That was what that reference was all about. Okay, and meanwhile, Mark Halperin said something so ridiculous, and it shouldn't be a surprise that Mark Halperin is saying ridiculous things. But every time election year rolls around, and Mark Halperin starts opening his mouth about the election itself. Remember Mark Halperin 8 years ago said something to the effect of that John McCain should start attacking Barack Obama by mentioning his middle name and portraying him as a Manchurian candidate?
Yeah,
it was basically Mark Halperin who mainstreamed birtherism by trying to portray Barack Obama or recommending that McCain portray Obama as being a terrorist sleeper cell. That was Mark Halperin's doing. And now Mark Halperin is on the allegedly liberal cable news network almost every damn day. Certainly, he's probably on there right now as we're recording this show. I bet he's sitting there talking to Joe Scarborough right now. But this is what Mark Halperin said on the extended Morning Joe today.
Right. It's a lot about his supporters, but I think it's at least 25% about him, because he is one of the two most talented presidential candidates any of us have covered.
He's talking about Trump. One of the two most talented presidential candidates any of us have covered.
He just is.
Who's the other one?
Bill Clinton.
And not Barack Obama?
Yeah, this is Eugene Robinson saying, what the fuck?
Yeah.
What the hell's wrong with you, sir?
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, God, unbelievable. This is just Mark Halperin pulling crap out of his ass.
It's.
Who's the other one?
Bill Clinton.
And not Barack Obama. The black guy from Chicago with the name Barack Hussein Obama, strong, who got elected twice.
Strong third. I mean, look at what Donald Trump does every day to defy.
You're going
to
get, don't even open your computer. Turn it upside down right
just,
now.
It's just in terms of pure that. Political skill. Because
you're going to be attacked.
Because Barack Obama.
You know what? He should be attacked. And I'll tell you exactly why. He should be closing his computer, because everyone is going to accuse him of being absolutely wrong. And he is wrong. And he should be called out as such, because you know what? He's always effing wrong. Mark Halperin.
Halperin's a waste. He's a hack.
He's a big time hack. Almost as wrong as often as Bill Kristol. By the way, did you see Bill Kristol on Bill Maher Friday night? Just the biggest effing tomato can I've ever seen. I was so shocked. He was taking everything so seriously. It was like he thought he was on an episode of Fox News Sunday and not Real Time with Bill Maher.
Yeah.
He was just perpetually so butthurt every time someone brought up Reagan, or in that case, because Nancy Reagan had just died, Bill Maher starts talking about Nancy Reagan and Bill Kristol getting all so offended, but not in a comedic way, in a realistic, I'm going to walk off this show any second kind of way. Yeah.
No, he's an idiot.
Yeah.
I just, you know, I think I caught the last new rule, and you know when they cut to the people, cut to the panel during that, and then I saw his face. I saw the typical, you know, Cheshire Cat on lewds, self-satisfied smile that is constantly plastered to his face, and I'm just like, oh, fuck that guy.
Right. Right. He's always wrong. Mark Halperin's always wrong. And yet they continue to work. There is no justice in the news beat. I don't need to tell you, Chaz, you got fired from CNN. So, good Lord. I'm preaching to the choir here. But there's no way. I mean, I could see Bill Clinton's probably the most masterful politician of our lifetimes. I would have to put Barack Obama a pretty close second. Because what Eugene Robinson said was absolutely right. Barack Obama came from nothing.
Yeah.
Absolutely nothing. He's a self-made man who rose, even with all of his handicaps, at least in terms of American culture, being African-American, having a white mother, his name being Barack Hussein Obama. You know, then there was that. There were all the scandals that they tried to throw at him back during the 2008 campaign, where not even the liberal network gave him a break. I mean, yes, there was the Chris Matthews getting the tickle up his leg or whatever the hell he said. But for the most part, it was basically like, 8 years ago today, the call of the day on the liberal cable news network was, why can't Obama close the deal?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I remember that.
Yeah. And then on all the other networks, it was Reverend Wright around the clock.
Yep.
And by the way, thanks to the Hillary Clinton campaign at the time.
Yeah. Mark Penn.
Mark Penn and Hillary Clinton dumping that Reverend Wright tape into the campaign. So there you go. So we're going to, all Democrats are going to hate us today because I'm attacking the Hillary people. We're attacking the Bernie people. It's going to be one of those shows. But, you know, again, there's one thing that you can count on this show, and that is that we're going to give it to you as straight as we can.
Indeed. And that's us. Yeah. Giving it to you straight.
I'm going to give it to you straight. Yep. All right. We're going to take one last break and come back and wrap up the show right after this.
You can't always get a clean you can feel good about inside and out unless you're using Bubble Genius bath and body products. See, Bubble Genius is a woman-owned small business proudly creating our vegan-friendly products in America and supporting other U.S. businesses by buying our ingredients and supplies from them as often as possible. Plus, you'll be hard-pressed to find packaging as recyclable as ours. Visit BubbleGenius.com and check out our cause-related items too, like our global warming soap and a lot more. We donate our proceeds for those items to worthy causes, like organizations combating climate change and mountaintop removal mining. Good stuff like that. We also send our products to the troops overseas through our Buy a Soldier a Shower campaign. Because the least we can do is keep them smiling and smelling great, right? So visit BubbleGenius.com and feel good and clean. Bubble Genius, doing our part to make the world a better place, one bathtub at a time. That's BubbleGenius.com.
The Bob and Chez Show with Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Yeah, I was never really into Emerson, Lake, and Palmer. I just, for some reason, I couldn't wrap my head around Emerson, Lake, and Palmer, but it's my favorite Emerson, Lake, and Palmer song right here, Hodet. Keith Emerson, 71 years old, put a shotgun in his mouth the other day. Jesus Christ. Been a hell of a year for music. Remember, a couple of years ago, it was the year that James Gandolfini died, and it seemed like that, like all of our favorite actors were dying, and now it's like all these big time musicians have been dying the last year or so. I don't know what the hell's going on with that. What's up with that? I don't know. Okay, so moving along here, there's a few other Trump stories that caught my eye this week. First of all, there's evidently a Trump army being formed.
Yeah, the brown shirts.
the brown shirts are coming.
Nine, nine, nine.
group of Donald Trump supporters over the weekend called for volunteers to join a would-be militia aiming to protect voters against so-called violent far-left agitators.
Petty?
Yeah, no.
Punk-ass little thuggery stuff that's been going on.
Excuse me, I'm talking.
Shut up. Okay. In recent days, violence at Trump rallies has escalated to match candidates' rhetoric last week. Blah, blah, blah. We saw that. Hours after a protester rushed the stage at Trump's Dayton rally, a Twitter group called The Lion's Guard called on supporters of the GOP frontrunner to join a makeshift militia. Quote, do you want to provide security protection to innocent people who are subject to harassment and assault by far-left agitators? Lion's Guard asked in a call to action. If so, you are welcome to join. That's the mission, to protect innocents who can't hire their own security guards.
Is that supposed to be Trump?
This is the Lion's Guard. Lion's Guard said that their members would be unarmed, but willing to forcefully protect people if need be. We are defensive, in italics, protective, in italics, of innocents who are being beaten and harassed for their political views. Find me one liberal protester, whether exactly. They're pro-Bernie, pro-Hillary, or pro-miscellaneous, who has unprovoked thrown a punch at a Donald Trump supporter.
Yeah, because it was definitely that poor 78-year-old or 71-year-old the other day.
Yeah.
He was the one who really got hurt. We need to protect their fists.
That's right. And by the way, the guy who got cold-cocked, got sucker-punched by that old racist coot, was tackled down by security, roughed up, and left the arena all bloodied.
Yep.
Because he was the one who was sucker punched. Just absolutely effing insane. So it's only going to get worse from here. I mean, what happened in Chicago to me is just a precursor. I mean, imagine the convention.
Yeah, Josh Marshall wrote a piece the other day for a Talking Points memo called Someone Is Going to Die.
Yeah, absolutely. I honest to God, I believe that. And you know what? The other day, I thought, and I'm not encouraging this, of course, but I thought it was going to be Trump himself. And that clip where he's, it was like when that eagle.
Where he's freaking out.
Remember he was that video of him sitting at his desk for that commercial and that eagle attacks him?
Oh, yeah.
And he cowers and poops himself. He did the same thing the other day when a protester rushed the stage. And he moved faster than any of us. He moved like a ninja. Never seen Donald Trump move that fast other than that clip with the eagle.
But yeah, you're right. I've thought about that too. And I've thought about actually writing a piece that, I mean, that's a scary piece to write.
Yeah,
but writing one that just basically says, you know what, eventually somebody's going to take a shot at him.
Yeah.
And you know, the really scary thing is that as soon as that comes out of my mouth, the very first thought that follows it, and this bothers me because it puts me squarely in Alex Jones territory, is that Trump is the kind of guy who would engineer an assassination attempt.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Because there's nothing that would make him more powerful than if that happened.
Yep.
If somebody tried to take a shot at him and failed.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. And you know what? To a certain extent, we kind of have to be careful when we publish crap like that. It's a shame to have to say that. But the fact of the matter is, I mean, I was considering the other day firing off a few tweets about how now the Trump supporters are going to retaliate against Bernie Sanders rallies.
Right, yeah, absolutely.
And start harassing and disrupting and shutting them down. And I didn't do it because I wasn't sure if it was a thing yet, if the idea had already been floated. But then, of course, Donald Trump steps up and starts to point the finger at Bernie Sanders.
Exactly.
And basically gives them an excuse to go and do that anyway.
Yep.
So it's out there already. So I don't mind saying it. But, you know, of course, violence against any public official is nauseating to me, whether it's violence using a cream pie, like Bill Kristol was hit with a cream pie, or whatever, these people with glitter, or the Code Pink people with their giant puppets and their red hands.
Yeah.
I hate all of that stuff. Or even the shoes thrown at whether it's George W. Bush or Hillary Clinton. It's terrible. It's terrible, inexcusable behavior. So I hope it doesn't happen to Trump. I mean, the last thing you actually want, though, is not only for a public official to get injured like that, but then to also, turn him into a martyr.
Exactly.
And that's the last thing that Donald Trump needs, is to be some sort of martyr, whether he lives or dies. So it's just bad. Meanwhile, he's asking his supporters and his volunteers to take a loyalty oath, which we used to see. God, we used to see this in the Bush rallies in 2004. Everyone having to take loyalty oaths. But this one includes a section about not criticizing Donald Trump ever, ever, ever again.
Yeah, for the rest of their lives.
Yeah. So they have to sign this document.
That makes him a cult leader. Basically L. Ron Hubbard.
Absolutely. He's totally a cult leader because, you know, everyone who watches Fox News, everyone who listens to AM talk radio and then supports Donald Trump, they've all been brainwashed.
They totally
and
have.
I honestly believe that's the case. I honestly believe, I'm not joking, this is absolutely a case where the people who support these people, the support people like Donald Trump, who watch Bill O'Reilly and watch Fox News as the Five, and who listen to Rush Limbaugh and Glenn Beck and Michael Savage all goddamn day, they have been brainwashed. These are otherwise good people who have been taken in by clever marketeering, by easy to remember slogans, by people who are experts at delivering misinformation, and they have been duped. So back here to this this volunteer agreement. They are promising to never insult Donald Trump ever, and they're legally bound by that.
That's amazing.
They've signed a document that says, promise and agree not to demean or disparage publicly the company, Mr. Trump, any Trump company, any family member, or any family member company, or any asset of any of the foregoing owned.
That's insane.
Or product or service any of the foregoing offer, in each case by or in any way of the restricted means and contexts, and to prevent your employees from doing so.
He's so thin-skinned.
He really is.
He is. He's such a baby.
Yeah. People insulting, you know, Trump steaks. You know, but now he's got the Trump army to go along with his Trump vodka and his Trump steaks. Now he's got a Trump army.
And, you know, by the way, can we just say this? This is the thing. Like, if you didn't hate Donald Trump already, if he hadn't sort of crossed some sort of Rubicon in your soul, this just killed me. Did you see the interview with his butler at Mar-a-Lago?
I saw the story. I didn't read the interview, though.
I read it. Yeah. You know, it's fascinating. It is. It's a, you know, a look into the life of a very, very rich narcissist.
Does he have a painting of himself standing in front of another painting of himself? Like the Stephen Colbert thing.
They talk to the guy. They talk to the butler, and the butler says, you know, obviously he knows everything about Donald Trump.
Yeah.
He knows him inside and out. Mm-hmm. And he mentions that he knows the way he likes his steak cooked. And he says, basically, well done enough so that it rocks on the plate.
Oh, f*** that.
Anybody who ruins a steak by getting it well done, that person deserves to be punched in the f***ing throat.
Right.
You don't deserve to live if you eat a steak well done.
Exactly. What an idiot. So he has his Trump steaks burned to a crisp. That's smart.
Well, I mean, maybe that's the problem, is that he's eating Trump steaks, which word has it are crap meat to begin with.
Yeah, he's got to charcoal all of the E. coli out of
right.
it. That's why he's doing it. All right, one last thing about Trump. There was an ad that was released this week in which women are reciting Trump quotes about women.
Yeah, I saw that.
I watched the ad. Here's a little taste of this.
Bimbo, dog, fat pig.
Real quotes from Donald Trump about women. A person who is very flat-chested is very hard to be a 10.
I'd look her right in that fat, ugly face of hers.
Look at that face. Would anyone vote for that?
She had the height. She had the beauty. She was crazy. But these are minor details.
I like kids. I mean, I won't do anything to take care of them. I'll supply funds, and she'll take care of the kids.
You know, it really doesn't matter what they write, as long as you've got a young and beautiful piece of ass.
That must be a pretty picture, you dropping to your knees.
There was blood coming out of her eyes. Blood coming out of her... wherever.
Women, you have to treat them like
This is how Donald Trump talks about our mothers, our sisters,
our daughters.
If you believe America deserves better, vote against Donald Trump. Our principals pack is responsible for the content of this advertising.
Mm-hmm, there it is. And you know what our principals pack is? It's a Republican pack.
Of course, yeah.
Yep.
Amazing. Just amazing.
Yep. Everyone, Republicans, all Democrats, hate Donald Trump. And yet, there are still some Bernie Sanders people who will vote for Trump just to F with the rest of us. And it's so hard to take them seriously anymore.
It's terrible. I mean, it's just, that's just
irresponsible.
That's, yeah, disgustingly irresponsible.
Reckless, yeah. I mean, just every pejorative you can throw at them is just not enough. Because it's just, it's dumb. But I mean, I have this prediction, and I tend to rely upon past as precedent in just about anything, which is that in several months, maybe even just a couple of months, I'm so hesitant to make predictions. But after Hillary Clinton becomes the presumptive nominee, Bernie Sanders will be on the campaign trail campaigning for Hillary Clinton. And that's a fact.
Absolutely.
And because you know why? That's the grown-up thing to do.
Yes.
And in that regard, just like 2008, where the Hillary Clinton people refused to vote for Barack Obama, at least so they said, they were the Pumas. Remember Party Unity, my ass?
I do, yes.
And then they eventually came around and voted for Barack Obama. And many of them are now diehard Obama supporters. So, I mean, things change. I mean, they absolutely do. And there's a good long period of time over the summer where the healing will commence. And part of that will have to do with Bernie Sanders doing the grown-up thing, which is to appear on stage, hand in hand, hands raised, with Hillary Clinton.
Yeah.
And vocally supporting her. So, I think that's going to solve all the problems. I'm feeling optimistic today. That's what the problem is. All right, we got the Postmortem Show coming up next. You can listen at patreon.com/Bob and Chez or click the Patreon link at bobseska.com. And please support the show and please go shopping at amazon.com using our Amazon link. Okay, we'll see you on the Postmortem Show in just a couple seconds. Bye-bye.